Praise the Lord. We may also be here to worship. And when we are where He is, we will be blessed. Will we hear His word, be strengthened anew, and not regret that we have come. You know, it is very easy to sit and listen. I wish, when I sit there, that I could stay seated. I don't know how many can sympathize, but it is much easier. And yet, no one can help, whether they have to stand up, talk, whether they have to stay seated and hear, or may hear. God is in everything. God speaks and wants us to receive it and also to understand it. I was planning to withdraw this weekend, but then I keep thinking that our task is to be together before the face of the Lord until He comes again. And as we have heard, to exhort one another, to exhort ourselves, the more we see that day approaching. And we find that everything around us is really in a hopeless mess. It is important that there is no hopeless confusion in us, that we may be sober and clear by the grace of God, at least spiritually. All the confusion in this world will not harm you and me if there is a divine clarity in us about what God is doing. And I mean that God has helped us. We haven't gone over the top. We have not taken on more than God has allotted us. We have not given our own interpretations and have not given false hope to the people of God, but have simply passed on the Word of God with all its promises, waiting in patience for God to fulfill them. There is no human being who can help God to fulfill them. But as we have read in this word, we are to patiently endure. I don't want to repeat all, but this one verse here, verse 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. This is the point that had been lost in everything. The scribes in the days of Jesus had everything that was written in the five books of Moses. Only one thing was missing for them, and that was the revelation about what was written in those five books of Moses. And here we read that Moses had been faithful as a servant in the house of God to bear witness to what was to be proclaimed as revelation. That is written in the Bible. We have heard a lot about revelation in these recent times. And there are people who say, huh, you always have it with that revelation. Revelation. Yes. What is revelation? Revelation is the unveiling of what God has hidden from the wise and prudent. The word revelation in itself means unveiling. It was to reveal what God had told Moses. The scribes could repeat what Moses had said, but the revelation, the unveiling of what was said, they did not have it. And then they made human commandments and human statutes out of what Moses had said. And the Lord says, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Moses had a great task, not only to have 5 books written and called by his name, not only to have the creation report and everything connected with Israel's calling out reported, but it was a revelation in that all to future generations, revelation towards Jesus Christ, towards the New Testament Church. And this revelation should and must be proclaimed. I have been thinking about this today. The people of Israel had the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, but they did not have what God wanted to reveal to them. It is the same now. You can have the 4 Gospels and all the epistles and also the book of Revelation and still not have a revelation of it all. And that is why we may thank God again and again for revealing himself to us and also revealing his word to us. In verse 6 it says then, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. After all, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. This is also written a little further on in Hebrews, that everything visible will be shaken until we then get the unshakable. Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 27. Hebrews 12 from verse 27. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Here the word unshakable is used. One is that everything will be shaken that can be shaken, and then that something lasting will arise that cannot be shaken, and that is the kingdom of God. All kingdoms, however solid they may be, they are all porous. They all collapse. There is only one kingdom that will endure, and that is the kingdom of God. And the prophet Daniel already said that it will be an eternal kingdom, and all other kingdoms will be destroyed. You all know these Bible scriptures. Daniel chapter 7, verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So, the kingdom of God is eternal, and we are in the kingdom of God and have received eternal life, and therefore we will also rule and reign with him. We could read a number of scriptures on this. This thought became very great to me, that what Moses did, what he wrote down, what was going on at that time, was there to be proclaimed later as revelation. Christ is set over his own house, whose house are we, that we hold on to the joyful confidence and hope, and that to the end. I believe that only those really hold on to the end, and when the word end is written here, we don't mean, or then God's word doesn't mean 3 months before the close of the gate, or 3 years, but to the end, to the last year, the last month, the last week, the last day, the last minute and second, to hold on firmly to the end. That only those can do of whom we have already read in Hebrews 12, that they have received an unshakable kingdom. Beloved, there are 2 things. One is that it is written, "Thy kingdom come." That is in the prayer of our Lord, which we know as the Lord's Prayer. Secondly, it says, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, but it is within you." Both are true. First, the kingdom of God will be established in you and in me, and then you and I will be in the kingdom of God, of which we have read, will be everlasting, and all other dominions and kingdoms will be subject to it. Both are true. The kingdom of God is within us, and we know just as well that our Lord will establish His kingdom on this earth, and it will be the millennium. Whoever wants to persevere to the end and remain unshakable, firm and established, must understand that he will not make it with his own capability, but by the grace of God alone. And we all know that it is through the Word and by the Spirit. For the times are not getting better, they are getting worse. Whoever thinks that things will get better on earth must mean the millennial kingdom. But anyone who thinks that things will get better before then is deceiving himself and others. The Bible even says that the longer it goes on, the worse it will get. And Brother Branham says so clearly that the whole world will be like a great lunatic asylum towards the end. And you wonder today, when you look at people in their actions, hear about them, read about them, and so on, you wonder, how is that possible? And yet we know that it all belongs to the end times. And we don't need to shake our heads at it and think, oh my, that's impossible. That's beyond our grasp. No, we don't shake our heads. We lift up our heads because we know that our redemption is drawing near and that all these things must come because they have been foretold in the Word of God. It is not easy for me to preach the Word of God either. And yet, the things that I myself have to go through are already foretold here in the Word of God, whether in the prophet Micah or in the sayings of the Lord. And one would think that the good promises, we all like to see them fulfilled. It feels so good when God does good things for us. And do you know what is written about our Lord and Savior? That in spite of being a son, he learned obedience through his sufferings. Can we understand that? And perhaps you want me to read this so that you know it is written. It's also in Hebrews. It says here in Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 5, last part. Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, Let us stop here for a moment. Jesus Christ was 100% man after the flesh. He had to take our place and be given over to death. And we see here that it is said he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. This is our Lord of whom we read here. But here he was in human form. Here he was 100% human, born into this world for the sake of men, for your sake and for mine. He had tears running down. He had pain in his soul. He was afraid. He had pain. He had to go this way to become a faithful high priest, to understand you and me in our situations, not to look down on us from above, but to feel with us and to stand up for us. And that is why all these scriptures are so precious, because we see that he had to walk this path. And it goes on to say here, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. As if there was no way without that. And now we are put to the test. Sometimes unbearable suffering comes upon the people whom God prepares, whom he wants to mold, whom he wants to purify, in order to then be silent and bring our prayers before him who is able to hear us and lead us out. We, as human beings, and I absolutely do not exclude myself, we all have the tendency to tell this one and that one about what is troubling us, about what we have to bear, what we have to go through. The Lord Jesus only spoke to one person about all that he had to speak about. He didn't go to Peter and say, listen, this thing is so hard now, in this anguish and torment. No, the Bible says that in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Beloved, let us learn from this scripture. For he, as the Son of God, was and has become our model and example, that all sons and all daughters of God know, that they may bring their petitions and their requests in their distress, in their anguish, under their tears, in their suffering, before him who hears prayers. And that is why the psalmist writes, all flesh comes to you because you hear prayers. Here we have an example. Here we have a model. And then it says, and thus being made perfect. Without all this, neither obedience nor perfection was proved. Obedience was part of it, so that perfection could come. We are all waiting for the perfection. Without total obedience, which can lead through the deepest suffering, it will not work for us either. There will be no superficial perfection according to our standards, but a divine perfection as it happened to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And now it says here, and thus being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God, an high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. He not only endured all this, he has become the author, the origin, the beginning of our salvation. And as surely as he experienced his perfection, we too will experience our perfection by grace. For bride and bridegroom belong together. In him, all that was written in relation to him was fulfilled. And in us, the rest of the scriptures must now be fulfilled. I had to think of another word, and that is in Colossians chapter 1, here it says from verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We have read of faith. We have heard of perseverance, of the unshakable kingdom which we have received and in which we shall be. Here we are told that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Beloved, it is an easy thing to talk about the will of God and not understand anything about the will of God. But it is quite another thing when the will of God is revealed to us from the Word of God through the Spirit of God. Then it is quite another thing. How many talk about the will of God? And we have already mentioned it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But it can only happen where we recognize it and where we let God work. So, it's about the Spirit-inspired knowledge of God, that we might be filled with all spiritual understanding. We have heard so much, And I believe that you are not much different from me. We long with all our hearts for a working of God, through which God's word, with all its promises, can become a reality before our eyes. Not only that we have received instruction about God and His will, but that God could bring the will that He has revealed in His word comes to pass through the church. That is our main concern, not to increase in knowledge. May God grant us that, as far as it is still necessary and belongs to His plan of salvation. But it is close to our hearts that the Lord might bear witness. Beloved, surely we are all asking ourselves together this evening, what would you and I have thought of Brother Branham's sermons? How would you and I have reacted if we had not all listened to and witnessed together at the end of many sermons a healing service? In which Almighty God confessed the words that were preached. Just be honest. Was it only the sermons that convinced us? Or did it help that we heard God's word confirmed? I told you here, when I was flying end of June probably to Zurich via London, and I met some people there, including the two at the reception, and I approached them, and there were two believing men, and I promised to send them a tape of Brother Branham. I told this here before. And the one man only listened to this one cassette and didn't even read further what else we sent, but said he couldn't remember crying. But when he heard this tape and experienced the work of God, it came over him, and he couldn't take it anymore. It went through him, or broke through him, and he began to cry, because he was so overwhelmed by the supernatural work of God. Beloved, let us not make a mistake. Paul writes to the Corinthians, the kingdom of God does not consist in words alone, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And there are enough scriptures where he testifies that not only a sermon, but even his apostleship was confirmed by mighty signs and wonders. The question we must now ask ourselves is simply whether we can believe that Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and the same forever. And if we believe that from the heart, then we will not be afraid to act on the basis of the Word of God. Then we will believe and receive the promises of God. Because that is actually the verse that is written before this unshakable kingdom, that we have the promises of God. Here in Hebrews 12, verse 26, it says, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Once more. And then the apostle goes on to say that it already refers to the end, that everything created that can be shaken will be shaken, and that we will receive a lasting and an unshakable kingdom. We are, as we have often emphasized, children of promise. And as children of promise, we have a claim to the divine inheritance. And we know that if someone makes a will and the person dies, then the whole will is valid and the inheritance can be claimed. Jesus, our Lord, said, this is the New Testament in my blood. He made it legally binding in his blood while he was still alive. What shall we say here? When earthly a will is opened, then the heirs fight. They go to court and they pounce on the inheritance so that you can almost feel scary. And we, as divine heirs, sit here and are not at all interested in the will that has been left to us. I know of a single case, and I have witnessed it at least a little bit, of what goes on among people who have been given a will. It doesn't go well there, because everyone wants to have and wants to have more and is not yet satisfied. Everyone wants to inherit. Beloved, what about us? We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have taken the promises of God for this last time into ourselves and believed them with all our hearts. And when I think that there are many handymen on their way who do not believe God's word, and when it comes down to it, still tell people, listen, you can go home healed, you can go home delivered. What are we supposed to do as full heirs? There is nothing to share here. No Ishmael can come here and say, Isaac, that's not how it works. I also have a claim to register here. And then Isaac was able to say quite clearly, you have no claim here at all, Ishmael, because you are not in the promise at all. And because you are not in the promise, you are not in the will. And because you are not in the will, you are not an heir. So the thing was very simple. And Paul expresses it very specifically in Galatians, in the 3rd and 4th chapter. And there is one glorious verse. And it says, as Isaac was, we are the children of promise. I read it out. It's Galatians chapter 4, verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. We must now fully understand this. What the sonship of God is all about. The sonship we have received as sons and daughters of God. And that is why Paul writes that he has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts so that we can cry out, Abba, Father. Surely, here is a connection from the Son of God to all the sons and daughters of God, from the Spirit of God to all who are born and filled with the Spirit of God. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. There are many promises written in the Word of God. We, at the end of days, have the privilege of hearing the last promises and believing them. Before God can reveal Himself, and this is what I tried to say in the sermon in Zurich, and also the one that I spoke on a tape shortly before midnight, before I left. That our state, spiritually speaking, is a divine state. That, as a man described it, he said, there was a very old barn, and all the people complained and said, this barn must be demolished. But they didn't know that from the road behind it, inside this old crumbling building, inside this building, a beautiful new house was built. The people were all upset about it and said, this has to be demolished. And inside, the workers were busy, and they built and they built. And at the end, there was not a barn in ruins, but a jewel of a house. And when the house was finished, they tore down the ramshackle hut, and all the people looked. Here we read that Moses was faithful in the house of God. Christ is faithful in his own house, and his house are we. But this old hovel will have to be torn down one day, and then we will see the building that God has already prepared for us. But sometimes people look at that old ramshackle house and say, it's high time it was pulled down. And they don't know what's going on in that old hovel. Beloved, we carry a divine treasure in earthly vessels. And Paul said that when this earthly tabernacle is broken down, we have a building from God. In the midst of this ramshackle house, God is building His own house, and His house are we, your heart and mine. And one day, when the day and the hour have come, yes, beloved, then no one will see the old ramshackle house anymore, and no one will be upset. Then suddenly they will look. Can it be? I remember brother so-and-so in such and such state. And now, what has happened here? Something entirely new within the old. What a grace. Beloved, Let us grasp by faith what God has made of us, that through us he may do what he has purposed and bring to pass in these last days. Many of those who passed by, the man reported, had either set about tearing down this old barn or at least securing something about it. Beloved, the building authorities knew what was happening inside. Our God knows exactly what is happening. That something like this cannot happen in our country. I know that too. But there are other countries and other customs. But one thing I know is that God does spiritual things all over the world in the same way, namely through the power of His blood, His word, and His spirit. God sends His word to make us well, to set the promises before us. He opens our understanding that our iniquity and sin has been atoned for and forgiven, and that we have received new eternal life by grace. We have received an unshakable kingdom. The outside may be shaken no matter how. Let us hold fast to it, to the end. And when it looks as if everything will collapse, don't you worry. What God has built will never collapse. And there may be a ramshackle border. What God has done is done for eternity. That will never collapse. People who have really experienced God, who have not just been excited, who have not just been carried along by a wind pull, but who have been seized by Christ, they will say like Paul, not as though I had already attained, but I follow after, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that is what we want to do together, to fix our eyes forward, to trust God again and again, to hold fast to the end. And I say to you, he who holds fast to his word to the end, those he holds fast. Whatever may come can come, because we are anchored by the grace of our God. And this anchor, as the apostle writes in Hebrews, reaches behind the veil. That is also a very glorious statement. If this anchor had been before the veil, then every man could have handled it. But no one was allowed to go behind the veil. Only the priest, once a year, and then not to talk or anything else, but to make atonement with the blood of reconciliation before the mercy seat in the presence of God. And the anchor for our soul reaches behind the veil, fixed there where the mercy seat is, where God reveals himself, where the cherubims are, namely in the Holy of Holies. Is that not a wonderful thing? Where are you fastened, dear heart? Are you holding on to yourself, or are you anchored? There's a great difference. He who wants to hold on to himself may eventually run out of strength. But if you are anchored, you are chained. No one can tear them loose. And I say again, this anchor reaches behind the veil, into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, into which we can enter through the shed blood of the Lamb. And I ask you tonight, why did the veil in the temple rent when Jesus was crucified? Just to show something? No. To show the way is open. God has revealed himself. You can all come now. And that is something wonderful. We can all come and trust our God with all our hearts. Moses was faithful in the house of God, carrying out everything, because in it there was a divine revelation for things to come, to be proclaimed. Christ, our Lord, a son, faithful in the house of God, where sons and daughters of God gather to reveal himself in the midst of them as the risen and the living one. And I tell you, if we do not believe from the heart, we hurt God. We have no choice but to believe from the heart what God has spoken. We don't believe in me or in you or in anyone, but we believe in him who is trustworthy and who never changes. And the Bible says that whoever puts his trust in him will not be put to shame. May God bless this word. You know, I brought a booklet to the front. I was going to read from it, and time passed without me reading from it. But the time was not wasted. Certainly not. God spoke to our hearts. Were there at least 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 key pieces left in your heart and in my heart from this word reading today? Was there something that spoke to us? Beloved, you have to see it properly for once. Even the Lord Jesus, he preached a long sermon, and in that long sermon, there were key pieces, there were sayings of the greatest importance. We sometimes hear Brother Branham's sermons. There is a 2-hour sermon, but what are the centerpieces? What revelation is in that sermon? What is God trying to tell us in that sermon? And how many times have I heard it in the past weeks and days? The same phrase over and over again. They say, I've read the sermon so many times. And then comes the very easy admission. I have read them like a newspaper or like a book. And I have read over a lot of things. Beloved, let's do it a little differently. Let us read the sermons. Let us read God's word with devotion, in silence, without haste. Let us stop at each paragraph and let us ask ourselves and the Lord, what do you want to tell me through this? What is contained here? What is this about? Is there a revelation in here? Do you want to speak to me through this? And then we'll read on again. And you will see. Of course, we will feel the same way about the sermons as we do about the Bible. And we all have to admit quite honestly that we have been reading for many years and that things have always become new and great for us in the course of 20, 30, 40 and more years. So, we are grateful to God. As long as in the Word, in the sermons, in the services, something still becomes great, new, that we can rejoice about. It is a sign that God is talking to us and that the Spirit of God is working in our hearts. And that is what we all wish for, not only for us who are here, but for all those who are not here. We are sons and daughters of God and have full rights to all that the Lord has promised and left to us. He is faithful in His house. He carries out all that He has set out to do. Beloved, may it also be said of us that God will find us faithful at the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. May He bless us all. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before your holy face, O God. Lord, you know how I have come to the front, my God. And I thank you for the word of introduction and for the thoughts that you have made known in it, O Lord, and for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. O my God, we long that thou mightest come to thy full right in us and in this place and in all places where thy people are gathered together. Lord, you are faithful, we know it. You keep your word. Your promises are yes and are amen. Lord, begin to work. Confirm thy word. Make of us living members of your body, people in whom you can confirm your word, people through whom you can confirm thy word. Beloved Lord, have mercy on us. Help me to bring all petitions with supplication before thy face. Only you can turn all things. Only you can help. Only you can save, deliver, and preserve. Only you can bless. And that is why we come to you together. Lord, not mine, not ours, but thy will be done. Glorify yourself at all costs. This is the prayer of us all. In Jesus' name, amen.